place, Lord, that we can come and gather together and read your words and study them as a body, Lord, as a church family. And we pray, Lord, for this afternoon's events, that you would just bless them, Lord. And we pray for the preaching and the teaching of your words this morning, and the youth group and at the Rensselaer Church. And we pray, Lord, that you would just touch our hearts, that we would better walk with thee throughout the weeks and years ahead. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. last week we about finished verse 6 of 1 John, and in that verse we find somebody who can honor God with his mouth. He can, but his heart is far from him. The Bible says if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And folks, that's someone. This is all of us, right? That someone is all of us. He's talking to Christians here, and do we really want to be that person? It's something that we need to ask ourselves. We need to look in the mirror and ask ourselves. Every Christian should ask himself this: do we really want to be the person that honors God with the mouth, and not with anything else, not with our heart, not with our actions? And so, do we really think that we can say that we have daily fellowship with God and that we have daily fellowship with Jesus Christ when we spend 6 hours watching a television set with people killing themselves or people killing others and people partying and having a good time? Or we spend 8 hours thumbing games, right? Maybe some of you older folks don't know how to use that technology yet. But some of us younger people, we do, right? And do we really want to say that we have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ when we give maybe 5 minutes of thought a day? I don't know. There's days I don't give any thought, right? We get too busy wrapped up in the world or in worldly things, and it's a struggle, folks. But can I say that, oh, I talk to Jesus all day, right? No, we don't. And we don't have fellowship with him all the time. And he wants us to. He does. And there's days that we can sit there and go and talk with the Lord all day long, it seems. But then there's other days where it seems like we don't give him any time at all. And can we really say we have fellowship with Jesus Christ on those days? No, you can't. If you honestly say that you're in fellowship with Jesus Christ when you're doing things, Can I honestly say that I'm having fellowship with Jesus Christ when I'm doing sin? You can't. And if you can, you're lying to yourself. The Bible says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We lie and do not the truth. You might be able, and we touched on this a little bit, you might be able to get away with your sin with your fellow Christian buddies, right, or fellow Christians, because they'll put up with some sins from you, that is, the sins that they're doing, right, the sins that they do themselves. They'll put up with that sin with you, but the moment you step out of that realm and go into some other sin that they see that they don't do, right away, cast aside, right? No fellowship with them. But when you can justify your sin and somebody else's sin, it's easy to have fellowship with another Christian. It really is. But that doesn't work with God, folks. It doesn't work with God, and it doesn't work with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you come to him with any sin, you're not talking to him. You're doing any sin, you're not going to be talking with him. You might be talking with yourself, but you're not talking to the Lord, and you're not having fellowship with him. Because he cannot. He's holy. He's absolute holiness, and he's not a respecter of persons. Just because we may be a lifted up person amongst our fellow Christians doesn't mean that if that person's in sin, God's not going to talk to him just like somebody else, some low Christian on the low maybe in the pews, or maybe somebody else, right? He's not going to talk with them. Doesn't matter. He's no respecter of persons. If you're walking in sin, that is the works of darkness. It doesn't matter that you're his son. Doctrinally, it doesn't matter. There will be no fellowship with the Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ. And a great example of this is the parable of the two sons found in Luke. Luke 15. Some people call this, the parable of the prodigal son. And we'll go ahead and read it, verse 11. The Bible says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living." And so he had a set portion of goods for one son and a set portion for the other. And, of course, when you divide the one for the one, the other is divided to the other. It doesn't necessarily mean he got it. But it was divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him, and said, Son, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thyself, and then, or thy son. And then you know the story. The father makes a great feast, and they're all in fellowship again, right? Except for the younger brother or the older brother. But that's a different story. But here in this story, you find one son who wanted to walk his own way, and he knew that way wasn't right, because he knew he sinned against heaven. So he must have had some idea of what's right and what's wrong and what to do and what not to do, because he knew he sinned against heaven first and against his father. He was taught the right way. You know that by his actions. He knew he did wrong, and he went back and he confessed and he got right. But he wanted to walk in his own way, the way of darkness, of righteous living. Look, if you would, in Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, verse 20. The Bible says there, be not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. Drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Drowsiness. And so, now as long as this younger son was away from his father, did he have any fellowship with him? Did his father have fellowship with him? Did the Son? No. No fellowship, absolutely none. And it wasn't until the younger son was at the point of death that he quit lying to himself. Right? And so many a times we get to the point where there's nothing else for us to do except get right with the Lord. Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's good, and that's good. That's good. And we have someone in heaven praying for us too. Praise the Lord. But there's no fellowship here. And it wasn't until this younger son acknowledged he had to come to some acknowledgement that he was in sin against his father, against heaven, and he repented. He repented, and he realized that his father took care of him, as his father takes care of everybody that's under him, even the servants, right? And when times got tough, he figured out that nobody else is going to help you. And when times get tough and in the world, nobody's going to help you out there. You're on your own. And if you got a father in heaven, boy, you're in good hands. You're in good hands, especially if you're in fellowship with them. Because if you're not in fellowship with them, we'll get into that a little bit later. Worldly friends, they're not going to take care of you. They're not going to take care of you when times get tough. It's every man for himself in that world of darkness. It's survival of the fittest out there. And if you're a Christian and you're out there lying to yourself, right, about whatever, you need to know that there is a Father in heaven who wants to have fellowship with you. The Lord Jesus Christ in heaven wants to have fellowship with you. And if you just come out of that walk, you got to come out of the walk, though. You can't just keep walking in sin and expect to have fellowship with the Father. And you need to know at the very moment that the Lord sees the result of a confession. You just, okay, there's something that comes with a confession is an action, folks. Always. There's always some type of action. And notice, his father didn't come and have fellowship with him when he just said this thing. He had to move. He had to go in the way, the right way, this young son. But there's a father in heaven who wants to have fellowship with a son, a rebellious son, but he can't because the rebellious son is walking in darkness. And the very moment that you turn and you confess and you go back and you start walking in light, as 1 John says, you're going to have fellowship with the Lord. You're going to have fellowship with the Lord. And the Lord, he's going to come to you. He's not going to wait 2 years for you to get back in your Bible and get on the right track, right? No, the fellowship is going to start right away. The moment you start coming back. The moment. Just like this father. He saw his son afar off. And he came out to him. The Lord's not going to wait all this time for you to get right and do all this stuff. The moment you say, hey, I messed up, and you start coming back. Fellowship. And it's restored. How does a person walk in the light? The Bible says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's found in Psalms 119. And if you want to walk in the light, you have to get in the Word of God. You have to get in the Word of God. And in the Word of God, there you'll find, and there you're going to see, because it's light, you're going to see. There's no darkness in there. You're going to see how you're supposed to walk. 1 John, verse 7. Quick review. 1 John, verse 7. Chapter 1, verse 7. The Bible says, verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And so, as you go to church, as you go to Sunday school, as you read your Bible, as you hear the preaching of the Word of God, God is going to show us, he's going to show Christians how to walk in the light. And he's going to do that through the Holy Spirit that's inside of us as we do these things. And he's going to show you how to walk in the light. He'll show you. He'll show us it's wrong to lie. He'll show us it's wrong to covet. Right? Those are just outward sins, or some of them are inward, but those are just the basic ones, folks. And he'll show you it's wrong to defile your bodies. Because why? It's the temple of God. He'll show you those things. And you can be assured that the Lord will show you whatever it is that you're doing wrong. And when you stop doing those things wrong and start doing the right things, you'll be walking in the light. You'll be walking in the light. It's a movement, folks. When you walk, you're moving. It's not just saying and not doing, right? It's a doing. And are you doing something to get saved? No. This has nothing to do with salvation. It has to do with fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with God the Father. And so the Bible says, and when you start doing things right, you'll be walking in the light, and guess what? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Cleanses us from all sin. Hey, folks, you can't make yourself clean by doing right. You can't. But the blood of Jesus Christ can. The blood of Jesus Christ can. And there's nothing you can do to redeem yourself for any of the wrong that you've done. But the blood of Jesus Christ can redeem you. The blood of Jesus Christ can redeem you. That's the only thing that can redeem you is the blood of Jesus Christ. You realize the first human being that was ever slain, the blood that was slain for them, first human being, you know who that first human being was? It was Abel, right? Wasn't he a shepherd? Wasn't he a shepherd? And you know who the good shepherd is? Yeah, found in John 10. He's the good shepherd who giveth his life for the sheep. He giveth his life for the sheep. And it's through his blood, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the good shepherd. It's through his blood that we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. Look, if you would, in in Colossians. Colossians 1, the Bible says, verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Even the forgiveness of sins. Now, and there's other things that the blood of Jesus Christ does for those that have trusted in him, for Christians. And like peace, same chapter, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. You know what? Christians have peace through the blood of Jesus Christ. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. At one point, we were all at enmity with God. And we were enemies. Enemies. And there's no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. No peace? What do you mean by that? There's no peace with you and God. No peace there. If you're wicked and you haven't trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's a wicked person, right? No peace. There's no peace. And at one point we were all in that place, but it's through the blood of Jesus Christ that He's able to reconcile that with God. You're able to reconcile this enmity and this your enemy state with God. And there's peace there now. Why? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. He shed His blood. And it's through that blood that you can have that peace. Not only that, but a Christian is justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. He's justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:9. Romans 5:9. Just if I've never sinned. If He's taken all of your sins away, right? And that's what a hyper-dispensationalist will use to say that you have no business confessing your sins that are already been forgiven. That's what he says. And he'll run to Colossians 1:14, but Romans 5:9. The Bible says, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen, right? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, if you're saved, you have forgiveness of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. You're born again and have a relationship. There's a relationship there. But you can have a relationship as being a son of God and not have any fellowship. There's a difference there, folks. There's a difference there. Relationship, you're a son of God doctrinally. Practically, no fellowship with that God if you're walking in darkness. Not only does the blood of Jesus Christ justify, but it also purges. That's found in Hebrews 9:14. And we just read in Romans 5:9, you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Isn't that a blessing? The blood of Jesus Christ does a lot for a Christian, folks. And it'll do a lot for somebody that's unsaved if they'll come to Jesus Christ. But if they don't come, it doesn't get applied. Again, the hyper-dispensation, he'll say, there's no business confessing your sin after you've been saved, but they fail. They fail to see that in 1 John, the confessing isn't to get saved. It isn't to get saved. Right? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Hey, when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, why did He die? Because you're a sinner. Died for our sins. Right? When you believe that, there's a confession there. There's a confession there. And so, there's an action there as well, because you're trusting in Jesus Christ. But it's not, in 1 John, it's not to get saved here. That's what the hyper-dispensation, he fails to realize. It's not to get saved. It's to stay in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Every Christian, folks, is better off confessing his sins. Why? Well, I'm going to clue everybody in on a little secret here. Okay? There's a great, great truth. God so wants to have fellowship with his children, those who have trusted in him, that if you don't confess your sins, you're going to be chastened. Now, I don't know about you, but I didn't get out of getting a spanking at home because I just confessed my sins to my dad. I got that spanking. But you can get out of the chastening of the Lord by confessing your sins. You can escape that chastening by judging yourselves. Look, if you would, in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Now, there are some earthly sins and moral sins that you do on earth, man's going to chasten you for, right? He will. And you kill somebody on this earth, you're going to go to jail. You do something mean against a child, you're better off being executed in a chair, right? Because you go into jail, they don't even like them people. The murderers don't like them people. You could be a murderer and be safe in jail, but you do something to a child, you're done. You're done. 1 Corinthians 11:13, the Bible says, or 31, I'm sorry. The Bible says, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be contemned with the world. You want to escape the chastening of the Lord? Judge yourselves. Don't wait till you're at the point of death to admit that you've sinned against the Lord and there is no fellowship there, and you need to get back there, because the Lord wants to have fellowship with you. And if you don't do that on your own, then He has to intervene. And when He intervenes, you're probably going to be coming back. Maybe it'll take you a little longer than some, but you're probably going to be coming back. And hopefully quicker than later. But the fact that you acknowledge that you're doing something wrong, by stopping that wrong, by stopping that sin, is confession enough for the Lord Jesus Christ to have fellowship with you and for God the Father to have fellowship with you. And why? You're in a clean state. Why? Because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Which cleanses you from all sin. Now look in verse 9. John, 1 John 1:9. This verse 7 and verse 9 kind of go together. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you sin, you're not only offending God, but you're offending His dear Son, the Lord Jesus. And once you acknowledge your sin and confess it, you're forgiven at that very moment, okay? And you can have true fellowship with the Father and with His Son. And the very moment that you go back to that sin, the very moment, that fellowship is broken again. The very moment. And then you confess it again, and it's restored. You stop it, and you confess it, stop it, and you come to the Lord, it's restored. And then you do it again, broken. The same sin we're talking about. Same sin. But know this. Some sins, folks, are easy to give up. Right? The Lord shows you, they're done. And you really never, ever think about them again. But there are some sins that we have to constantly battle. And we're constantly coming back to the Lord. And we're constantly restoring fellowship with Him. You know what? The Lord keeps forgiving. The Lord keeps forgiving. Look, if you would, in Matthew 18. We have a great example here, folks. Great example in the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew 18:22. The Bible says, here's Peter, right? Verse 21, then came Peter to Him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now think about that, folks. Think about that. If you're a child of God, guess who's your brother? Guess who's your brother? And I know it's by adoption, but you got a brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. And every time you offend Him and do something against Him, and you offend God the Father, and every time you confess it and come back to Him, guess what the brother does? He forgives. He forgives. And the Father wants to have fellowship with you. And the Son wants to have fellowship with you. And they can't while you're walking in darkness. They can't while you're walking in darkness. And so in order for us as Christians to experience the full joy that we need. We get that joy through the truth. We believe the truth. We stop walking the way that we shouldn't walk according to the truth. And we get that joy of God the Father. And we get the joy of Jesus Christ. And you can have full joy on this earth and be in fellowship with the Father and with the Son. And we'll go ahead and stop there and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words. Father, we thank you that the great truths in the Bible, Lord, that show us your kindness and your mercy to forgive, Lord. What a great promise. And we pray that we would just not be too proud to ask and confess our sins to you, Lord, and stay out of fellowship with you too long, because the chastening will be coming. And we'd be better off just to get that right with you as soon as it comes to our attention. And we pray that we would do that. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.